I'm trying to be more positive about everything. It's not always easy.
The irony of that statement. I'm trying to be more positive about everything. It's not always easy.
Top 5 Face Off contains adult themes and language that some people may find offensive. Listener discretion is advised.
He's Matt Hurst.
He's Matt Squirrel.
And this is Top 5 Face Off, the official world rankings of everything. What are we ranking today, Hurst?
Well, Squirrel, today we shall be ranking the top 5 biscuits.
That's coming right up after this.
There's more than 5, call Squirrel and Hurst. It's the top 5 face-off, actual facts. It's the top 5 face-off, facts are exact. Top 5 face-off, top 5 face-off, official world ranking. What's next? You decide.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, or good night, rankers. Welcome back, or if you're new to the show, welcome. For our new rankers, Squirrel, why don't you tell them what we do here and why we do it.
Welcome to the show, new rankers, and a happy new year. Happy new year to you as well, Hurst.
Well, happy new year, Squirrel.
This is Top 5 Face Off, the official world rankings of everything. Each week, we choose a random topic which is suggested by our Patreons, and we rank the top 5 and the worst from that topic. Then you, the ranker at home, go to our website, www.top5faceoff.co.uk, and vote on which of us is correct. And the winning vote becomes the official world ranking.
Excellent stuff. But we're British, so we can't dive straight into the business end of things.
Nope.
So how's the weather been?
Weather has been good over Christmas. It's been a long while since we've talked to you, actually, rankers. The pre-Christmas special wasn't actually us. Spoiler. So it's actually been around a month. But yeah, it was ever so dry. It was cold, but there has been no rain for like weeks and weeks and weeks. And then we've had some rain this week. So there you are.
Well, this end has been absolutely god-awful. Somehow, both wet and icy at the same time, with a wind chill of -4. It's just been ghastly. And we had a good old dusting of snow, which meant that I couldn't do my regular minesweeping of the gardens. And I tell you now, guys, when you've got 4 dogs, regular minesweeping of the garden is mandatory to avoid grimness.
You know, you can get robots that cut your lawn. Is there a robot that can pick up dog poop?
God, I hope so.
Bet you can get one from Temu, which is terrible.
Sprays shit everywhere.
There are emerging technologies, primarily things like the poop copter, which is a drone.
The poop copter.
And the ground-based beetle. It's got like a big old upside-down plastic mixing bowl on the bottom of a drone with scoopers that kind of come in from the side. Then it flies off and drops it in a pile somewhere.
Well, ideally, you're next to a neighbour's house.
Well, drop it on their roof.
Anyway, as our Patreons will know, I got a robot vacuum/mop thing for Christmas, which I called Guffy, which turns out is a Yuffie.
All right.
We got an absolute steal on that thing, mate. So I've been looking for them afterwards just to see which one it is. And they're all on offer at the minute for half price at £400.
Yeah, they're really expensive.
We got ours for £99.
God, bloody hell, that feels like it was definitely stolen. Where did you get it from?
I think it was a drop shipping thing, because originally they sent us 2 absolute pieces of crap children toys, and then Carly got all rage on them, and a few days later we got a proper one. And I think it must have been one of those, they send out enough shit, and the ratio of people that actually kick up a stink to people who accept the loss probably made them some money, maybe. I don't know. But either way, you cannot find what we got for anywhere near we got it for. So happy days.
So what's been going on besides Hurst getting a bargain? Well, it is, as indicated earlier, a new year. Any resolutions for the year? Do you do them?
I don't so much, because I think it was through doing Bushido. Well, every day is the start of a new year. So why wait till the beginning of January? When you think of something good to do, just start doing it.
Exactly.
I'm trying
that, right?
To be more positive about everything. It's not always easy.
The irony of that statement. I'm trying to be more positive about everything. It's not always easy. I was thinking of putting a particularly funny bit up right as the very first thing that happened on the podcast. And I think I just found it.
But I realised as I got to the point when I was thinking of what's been gripping my shit, like, you know what, nothing, because I'm more positive these days. And then I was just going to the loo and I thought, oh, you know what's really been gripping my shit? I was, oh no, it's back. I'm seeing as we're talking about it, might as well let you know what it is. The Christmas staple foods and things, like the snacks, have been shrinkflated and been generally made less good than they were. Things, I mean, roses is the obvious one, those big tins.
You get fewer chocolates in them now then?
About half as many as you used to.
Holy shit. Is there any science to that at all, or is it entirely anecdotal?
No, it's absolutely...
Could it be that Carly's eating twice as many?
No, because remember the thing that made me feel old? It's all blended so nicely. Do you remember when tins of roses were tins rather than plastic tubs?
Oh, yeah.
And they were white with a purple trim rather than mostly purple, and they were a kilo, like 1.2 kilos.
I don't remember them being white.
Oh, they were. I mean, that's a nostalgic thing, but yeah, that... I was thinking, man, that's all gone to pieces. But I'm used to that now. I've seen each year they're getting smaller and shitter and they're making the packaging bigger and so you get less for your money. But the thing that got me this year was the Twiglets, man. Have you had Twiglets this year?
I think I got like a plastic bucket of the Twiglets, yeah.
They are about half as thick as they used to be. So
Twiglets themselves, you reckon?
Yeah, they are. They used to be have like more air in the middle. They had a better shape to them and now they're just... so skinny. I always used to pretend when I was young that I was the Rankle off of Empire Strikes Back and I'd put the Twiglet in my mouth and then I'd crunch it like the Rankle crunches that bone. Well, now that's just not, you know, even a kid would look at that and go, well, that's no bone. I'm no Rankle.
Right.
Anyway, there's my positivity.
I haven't particularly noticed. I got to say, I don't buy boxes of chocolate. I find those chocolates are generally bad, like whether they be Heroes or fucking...
Celebrations.
Oh, fuck off, Celebrations. They're teeny tiny. If it was celebrated, they'd be enormous.
Yeah.
Come on. More
of a polite cricket clap than a celebration.
Yeah, right, exactly that. It's like those bags of, yeah, all right, this is now gripping my shit. It's like those bags of M&Ms you get, and they're like treat size. But you get like 9 when you pour them out. They're mostly bag and very few peanut M&Ms. It's like they're just what the packet of M&Ms used to be. Before they now treat size. It's not treat size. Treat size, if I can finish them, there's not enough.
So they used to call them fun size, didn't they? It's like, there's nothing fun about a Mars bar that I can inhale.
Right. Do you think this might have something to do with why we are particularly shaped gentlemen?
I just think that's a middle-aged spread. That's completely out of our control.
Completely out of our control. It's not because we're hammering every energy drink that's ever been made down our throats.
To wash down all the Twiglets and roses and celebrations. Om, nom, 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 nom.
I feel Twiglets are quite healthy in the grand scheme of things. And interesting for this week, I suspect they're technically biscuits in the way you cook them and make them.
Let's not start with clearing.
Let's not go there.
Let's
know, Malks, if you know how Twiglets are made, because I know they are baked, but they're baked what? Let's know, Malks. Should we talk about what went on last episode, Hurst?
Yes, let's.
Yes, you and I were discussing Christmas movies, but we sounded distinctly different.
Bit weird. Squirrel and Hurst did Christmas movies.
Squirrel and Hurst did Christmas movies. Obviously, a big thank you to our wives who did a fantastic job. Really brought out the scum of the internet in the comments. Jesus Christ, what it must be like to be a woman online. Obviously, I'm not reading these out, you fucking weirdos. Anyway, there are some that I will read out. Not that one.
We're going to have an offline session after this.
I'll just tell you right now, but then we'll skip over it.
A few moments later.
Now, if that wasn't you...
It was me.
What?
12 seconds later.
Cool. Let's have some votes. Hey, guess who's first? Hurst.
Meg98.
I love the list. I love the new voices you guys are trying out, but I didn't love the lack of Mean Girls. Shame from Meg98. Sorry, Meg.
Is Mean Girls a Christmas movie?
Well, you've probably seen them doing their Christmas duds dressed as Santa Clauses to walking into Winter Wonderland. Tell Meg, don't tell me. Anyway, she did vote for Squirrel on that one. Here's a vote for Hurst. Good list, Mrs. Hurst. I'm not one for smushy Christmas films either, says Katie. Thanks, Katie. Another one for Hurst. It is certainly close, and I would watch all of these except Elf. Shock! The kids love Home Alone and try to make similar contraptions at home, mainly with sellotape. That's bad. Also added Back to the Future to the watch list this year from... Andra? Fucking hell.
Andra. It might have been her. She's just started listening, so...
Squirrel, love the new presenters. Other than Die Hard, this is my favourite list. After Christmas is just brilliant. Thanks, Cov. Thanks, Cov. Hurst, I feel like something was different this week. Can't put my finger on it. Anyway, Hurst wins hands down. Easiest win ever, by far, from Money Slinger.
Nice. Well done, Money Slinger. I'll tell the wife.
A vote for Squirrel. Only one person chose Christmas films, says Ohio.
Ooh. Ohio coming with the handbag. Which is probably not going to make any sense to Ohio because they're from America. And if we went, oh, handbag, they're not going to have a fucking clue. What is that, Shooting Stars?
Oh, I don't know.
I think Vic and Bob did it in Shooting Stars, didn't they?
Maybe.
Another vote for Squirrel. Though I do my wrapping up to Die Hard, Squirrel edged this one with the inclusion of Arthur Christmas, which I've watched with the kids since they were small. And Last Christmas that we only discovered recently. That is an anonymous comment. Thanks, Anon.
We actually watched Arthur Christmas after that episode. Mm. We'd not seen it before. What did you think? It was really good, actually.
It's good.
I did enjoy it.
Trooper votes for Hurst says, standard Route 1 approach. Take the win, move on.
Brilliant.
All right. Thanks, Trooper. Another vote for Hurst. I tend not to like the Hallmark style of Christmas films. And despite two films only being okay, I really like the action films listed. So Hearst wins easily for me. That's anonymous as well. But your name's on these things, Rankers, or we don't know who you are. And finally, Dav has here, voting for Squirrel this week for a solid selection of Christmas whimsy. I do enjoy the occasional left-field seasonal movie, and Die Hard is a staple in the Paz house, but Christmas is for warming the heart. Best wishes, Dav Paz Bells. Thanks, Dav Paz.
Excellent. So, what are the scores?
Hearst got 20 votes.
It's decent. That's often a winner.
It's a lot. Oh. Well, Squirrel got 17, Hurst, so you are incorrect. There you are. It was fairly close, but turns out in the end, horror movies is what you want at Christmas. So, Hurst, what were the top five Christmas movies?
Well, Squirrel, they were Die Hard at number 5. Coming in at number 4, Gremlins. Number 3, Violent Night. Number 2, Elf. And number 1, the all-time greatest Christmas movie, is Home Alone.
Pretty sure I said 20's normally a winner, right?
Oh, yeah. Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Okay, then well done.
You threw me a curveball. He said, you're wrong, Hurst, but Hurst wins. It's like, wait, what?
I thought you said, well, let's do that again. No, let's not. Fuck it. We've already spent long enough on this. This is recording number 4. Quick peek behind the curtains, Rankers. It's not been going well today. We've not recorded the whole thing 4 times. We just keep having to record a bit.
That's tech-based, though, isn't it? It keeps cutting us off. It's not really.
Oh, yeah. It's not us-based, I think. And anyway, touch wood, it does appear to be working okay right now. So, should we get ranking quick before it breaks again?
Let's do it.
Look what I dug out from behind my computer. It is the OG Coin of Destiny.
Thank goodness for that.
How do we know who goes first when I flip this coin, Hurst?
That's simple enough. Heads first, squirrels have tails.
And we'll know it's the OG one if it chooses heads, because it always fucking does. No, tails. Oh, well, must have found a different one back there. Squirrels have tails.
Well, before we dive in, we need to probably discuss biscuits is a pretty broad one. We get quite a lot of ambiguous topics, and then between us, we decide what's right.
Yes.
Biscuits, there are packs of biscuits. There are individually wrapped biscuit bars. There are crackers. There's all sorts of things. So we had to try and figure out what was what, really, as we went through our lists. We decided that wrapped biscuits, things like Penguins, Kit Kats, Twixes, anything that's individually wrapped within its multi-pack is probably not a fair biscuit.
Yeah, we go for packets of biscuits, right?
Yeah.
And I know technically those are packeted, but yeah.
They're not in the spirit of biscuits.
So what we often say to this is, if it feels wrong, it probably is wrong. And a penguin just feels wrong. It doesn't feel like it deserves a top biscuit
list. Yeah. And we didn't even have to argue on that. We were both just on the same page.
Both aligned with that. And at the same time, some of the best biscuits you can eat are homemade by people. We're not including them either. You've got to be able to buy them from the supermarket, Rankers. You've got to be able to go join in.
Yeah, that's another thing as well, is that you can buy a bag of cookies, but it doesn't feel like a pack of biscuits, even though you can buy like Maryland cookies.
From Tesco. Yeah. It's a weird one, Rankers. We get it. So bear with us. as we throw our top five biscuits at you. And I wrote my list some time ago because we were originally going to do this in November, I think.
I think, yeah.
Or maybe was, early December.
I think it was going to be the first December one, wasn't it?
That's right. Which is, and mine was ready to go then. But I hadn't decided on my number five. And right now I'm looking at two biscuits with an oar in the middle of them, and I haven't made a choice because I haven't looked at this list for fucking ages.
Better dive in, mate. You got to make a decision. The coin of destiny chose you. Tell us what it is. What's number five?
Digestives. Straight digestives. The choice was chocolate digestives or digestives. And I think I'm going to include normal digestives. There's plenty of chocolate coming on my list, which is part of the reason for that. But I do love a normal digestive. I get that they're not exactly exciting. And I can scram them down on my own. But if you bang cheese on them, oh, yeah. They're the only biscuit that really, yeah, digestive biscuits and cheese. I think that's originally what they were for, right? But I'm happy to slam them in my mouth.
They're also like the official, I think when you're making s'mores, they are the official biscuit of s'mores, aren't they?
Yeah, graham crackers. But we don't have them in this country, so we have to put up with digestive. Graham crackers are more like Ritz crackers, to be honest.
Oh, interesting. I've only ever had them in this country, and they've always been digestives. They just
there you go.
Well, they're kind of like a blank canvas, aren't they? They're a multi-tool of a biscuit.
But not in a bad way. And some people put butter on them. Okay, that's up to them. They taste all right. But yeah, just... Vitti's digestive is important. It has to be McVitie's and not shitty digestives from the supermarket, which just don't have the correct texture, in my opinion. But there we are, number five.
You know what? That is an interesting point because there are some, I would consider digestives to be a Hall of Fame biscuit. And a lot of Hall of Fame biscuits, which supermarkets would have their own brands of, there's very little to call between it. But I absolutely agree on digestives. They do need to be McVitie.
Yes, yes, indeed.
Fantastic. Good call. My number five is also a Hall of Fame. I've chosen Custard Creams.
Mm.
They are classic and they are one that actually does well from a supermarket brand. I can pick up a Custard Cream from anywhere and wouldn't say, oh, that's not an original. When I was doing my rating of them, and all of our Patreons will at some point see all of the ratings I did on that big box of biscuits that Carly got me for Christmas, I rated them by taste, consistency, dunking, because I am a tea drinker. I know Squirrel isn't.
Gross.
They need to have an element of dunking to see what they're really made of and what kind of difference it can make. So, for example, like a rich tea, if you dunk it, it comes out a completely different consistency, which is quite clever. And some just aren't dunkable. Things like fig rolls, you can't dunk them. Anyway, I digress. So custard creams have great taste and excellent dunking. It's a top consistency with the cream that counteracting the dryness whilst adding a sweet vanilla flair. It's a good biscuit. It's one of the ones that you can eat on your own and it's not too dry. So it's a good standalone or it's great with a cup of tea. So number five for me, custard creams.
Alrighty. Cool. Yeah, what I was going to say about custard creams is basically what you said. You can get the value ones from the supermarket and they still taste pretty much the same as nearly all the other custard creams.
Yeah.
Unless you buy the chocolate-covered custard creams from M&S or something like that. Number four, for me, chocolate-covered custard creams from M&S, which are custard creams on steroids. They are incredible. They are £3 a pack.
Shit, a brick.
And that was while I was working at Ocado, so they may well have gone up in price or down in size by then. But imagine like a normal custard cream from the supermarket. Now triple the amount of the cream bit in the middle, then dunk the entire thing in chocolate, and then stick it in a packet.
You know what? I think I have had these. I think Carly brought them home one time and they were sensational. I'd entirely forgotten about them.
They are like crack. They are amazing. They are my number four. I don't think I need to talk about them any more than that. Get yourself to M&S and buy these and some more that are going to be mentioned in a minute.
Good call. Those are great. I would need to get back on those. They are pricey, but as a treat, for sure. So my number four, party rings. Love party rings. Nice contrasting consistencies, great flavour and a pleasing dunk as well. So the patient consumer can lick the icing until it starts to separate, which is a pleasing bonus. If you can either do that in your mouth as an adult or as a kid, you can just sit there and lick them and parents just sit there and disapprove, but accept that it is a cool move. I love them. Nostalgia adds to the experience as an adult because every party you ever went to as a kid, they had party rings because they look the part.
They do.
They taste the part.
And they're cheap as buttons.
Cheap as buttons. Not chocolate buttons because those are well expensive, but
probably well expensive nowadays. Yeah,
yeah, they are cheap and effective. I love party rings. I didn't realise how much I loved them until I had a pack of them from the big box of biscuits. It's like, fuck me dead. These are amazing.
Yeah,
they scored highly. They were an 8 out of 10 and straight into number four on the list.
There you are. You called it icing, but it's basically just as much sugar as it can possibly be without being individual granules, right?
Yeah.
They just added as little amount of whatever else they could to get it to stick together. That's it.
Yeah, base. But wafer thin, not like icing on a cake, so...
Mm. No. Did you ever put them on your fingers? Because they have holes in the middle, rankers, if you don't know what we're talking about. Especially our ranking fans in America may not have heard of many of these. Party rings were just round biscuits with a hole in the middle, like a donut, but flat, obviously, with nice patterns on the top. Ooh, party on. And yeah, you could put them on your fingers and eat them off your fingers. That's what I did when I was a kid.
Yeah, of course you did. What else could you do? But as an adult, sadly, my big, chunky, middle-aged spread fingers don't fit in them anymore. So I just
bet they got smaller, mate. That's that again. Like hula hoops got smaller and you can't put your fingers.
Dunk and put the whole thing in your mouth.
There you go. Number three for me is the savory custard cream. I have gone with Jacob's Tuck Sandwich Snack Crackers. We had a quick chat about these ones. Were these biscuits or not? And at the end of it, basically, they're just savory custard creams or savory Oreos. So I'm putting them in. Let me know, rankers, if you disagree. But Jacob's Tuck Sandwich Snack Crackers, honestly, never knew what they were called until I put this list together. I just, you know the packet. They are Jacob's Tuck Crackers, spelled T-U-C for some ridiculous reason, and capitalized, don't know why. And they have this kind of bullshit process.
Cheese.
Sticking two of them together like a custard cream on Oreo. And you grab them and you cram them into your mouth and you don't stop until there's none left. And then you're sad that there's none left because they are hideous, but delicious as all hell. They're so hyper-processed. There's like absolutely nothing even hinting at being natural contained within. But yeah. They're delicious and like Red Bull. In that respect, I will just cram it into my face until it makes me feel a bit ill.
Now, I'm not willing to die on this hill, but if I was going to choose Tuck Crackers, I would definitely have put them in at my number four because of controversy.
Oh, yes, of course.
I don't feel that crackers are biscuits. I feel like they're a different breed.
But they're literally the same thing. Like, they literally are without the sugar in. Like, that's it.
Yeah,
they just have more salt.
So look, I'm not willing to die on this hill. I'll let the rankers decide who's right on this one.
All right.
But it is controversial to stick in a savoury the top five biscuits. So.
Let us know, rankers. They're delicious.
Moving on. My number three is Biscoff Lotus. Fantastic biscuits. Oh, there's a squirrel spilling a face on this one. We might have some more controversy.
A little bit of a face going on, yeah.
They have excellent flavour. They're sweet but kind of unique because they've got cinnamon, which a lot of things don't. And we know this because Carly's allergic to cinnamon and she can't have them anymore.
Aww.
Which is devastating on several levels. First of all, for her, she can't have Biscoff. But she also used to make these Biscoff cheesecakes. And bugger me, they were so, so good.
Yeah,
I know. Probably best for my middle-aged spread that we don't have that going on anymore. But so, so good. And they make good dunking as well. They're not too dry without dunking. But they're a quick dunk. You can't hold them in there. They will fall off. You get dunk them in, stick them in your mouth. But then you get this beautiful, warm, pasty. Oh, so nice. My number three, Biscoff.
All right. They're all right. I always found that they're a bit crap until they mush them up and put them in a jar, at which point they turn into absolute heroin. But as a biscuit, they're just a bit like, oh, well, never mind. But yeah, I don't know why. Because anyway, what number am I on, Hurst?
Two.
Three. Must be two. All right. We're rattling through. My number two. You're back to M&S for these ones, Hurst. They are the outrageously chocolatey milk chocolate rounds, which is quite the title. Again, they're donut, but flat donut shaped. And then they cover them in so much chocolate. It's actually on the packet that there's more chocolate than biscuit. Yeah. Fuck yeah. They are really, really, really nice. And yeah, they've got a lot of chocolate on, but the chocolate is well good. It's not that shit stuff that Cadbury seems to have turned into now, which is a bit irritating.
Are they like the ones you get in those Christmas tins of biscuits? They're so chocolatey.
Yes, exactly. The conspiracy biscuits. Yes.
Yeah. They are good. They are very, very good.
Except they're probably about this thick because M&S and, trying to justify the fact you've just paid however much you just paid for eight biscuits.
2 hours salary for eight biscuits.
That's right. But yeah, I used to get a discount, of course, but not anymore.
This is why you know all the fancy biscuits and your list is generally fancier than
this
mine.
This is why I know all the fancy biscuits. I would deliver them to people and look at them and go, they look fucking nice. And then I would remember to get them. But yeah,
M&S Outrageously Chocolate Milk Chocolate Rounds. It's basically the closest you can get to eating chocolate whilst actually eating a biscuit and maybe pretending you're being healthy. I don't know.
Fair enough. I don't think you can ever claim to be healthy when you're eating that much chocolate.
Maybe not. But they're biscuits. That's the important bit. They're not chocolate. They're biscuits.
They are.
Chocolate's well bad for you.
Yeah. Okay, cool. My number two is another sandwich biscuit. It's Oreos.
There we are.
Fantastic business. That's one that Ohio can get on board with because I know Oreos are a big news in the States.
I feel that worldwide, right? They must be in pretty much every country.
I feel like party rings and custard creams and bourbons are probably quite UK-centric, whereas Oreos are more of a global phenomenon. And they
maybe.
Are.
I mean, maybe party rings are huge in the US. I have no idea.
Maybe. Let us know.
Maybe. Yeah, let us know.
Oreos are great. Excellent flavor, excellent consistency, and excellent dunking. There was nothing not to like in all of that. They are Moorish. They have just the right amount of cream in them as they are. But if you are a bit creamier, you can buy the ones that have got extra cream in them. They
double stuff, they call them or something.
Yeah, double stuff, which is a nice touch for the people who just maybe who don't want to dunk it and don't have that moist maker in a cup of tea. So they have the extra cream. So well played Oreos on all counts.
There we are. I think this is an American thing, but they take them apart, don't they? And they dip them into milk as opposed to tea in America. Neither of which I would do because I don't really like milk either.
Yeah, they do all sorts of strange stuff in America. But I mean, if they are an American brand, then maybe it's us that's getting it wrong.
Ah, maybe so. Yeah. But no, Oreos well nice. Probably my number seven after chocolate digestives, which would be my number six.
Yeah.
Do like an Oreo. Can't decide if the double ones are better or not. Can't decide if the ratio is slightly off or
I think it
better
is.
Or worse.
For me, it is. I like, if I'm having a biscuit, I like the biscuit to be the dominant thing. And it lines up with custard creams. It's just the right amount. There should be an air gap around the edge of the biscuit, whereas the double filled ones go right to the edge of the biscuit, I believe.
Oh, do they come right to the outside as well?
I think so. I might be just imagining that, but I think you need that little gap. You should be able to get your fingers in there, pull them apart without actually getting cream on your fingernails.
There you go. If you want to avoid cream on your fingernails, don't get the double stuff. Fucking innuendo episode, this is turning into.
Bravo.
All right.
So that's it. We are now... That's it for the first bit. We now switch.
We do.
Something that I haven't actually spent enough time thinking about, but I have a lot of scores on my list that I could just go back to and see where I've...
Look at which one's at the bottom.
4 out of 10. Brilliant. I'll use that.
All righty. Well, hold your horses, Hurst, because I go first and I feel... I'm going to upset a lot of rankers, so I'm just going to say, don't forget, rankers, worst doesn't count towards the official world ranking. You're only ranking 5-1. Worst is just for fun. It's rich teas. Rich tea biscuits are bland as all manner of fuck. They taste of nothing. They taste like Jacob's cream crackers, but not crunchy. They're just shit. I don't think I've eaten one for 25 years, so... It's been a very long time since one of these has gone near my face. I think because I don't drink tea, I think these are kind of pretty much exclusively for dunking in tea, right? Rich tea biscuits. Hurst is looking at his computer, which just doesn't know what the fuck I'm on about.
I do know it's on. I'm just looking back to see what I ranked rich tea as and what I said about it. And bland was definitely one of the words I used as well. I think they maybe are because it says rich tea. And when you dunk them, the consistency changes more than you would expect, possibly more from another biscuit. So they have got that going for them. But
They're just dull as hell. And I ain't having that, Hurst. I ain't having that. That's inexcusable. Just because you called it rich tea doesn't mean I have to use it with tea. It's like those ones that are called nice. They're not that nice. They're all right. They're all right. They should be called all right. And these should be called shit tea.
Yeah.
There you go.
That sounds awful. I don't want shit tea.
No, but I do believe they're weirdly beloved. They're probably a Hall of Fame biscuit, right?
They are a Hall of Fame biscuit, absolutely.
Because they're everywhere and have been for my entire life, which is a long time, Rankin.
Yeah, they are a Hall of Fame. But a lot of Hall of Fame biscuits are surprising ones.
Yeah, they've just been there because of longevity, not because of...
But longevity comes from repeat purchase. If people weren't buying them and eating them, they wouldn't have lasted. So someone's out there loving it. And I have a bit of a theory with that, which is church coffee mornings.
Right, because they're cheap as all balls.
Yeah.
And they are not sinner biscuits like custard creams would be.
Yeah, exactly. Although sometimes you would get a custard cream at church and that was a good day. They were never the last ones left. Which leads us nicely on to my worst biscuit, which is
okay.
The malted milk.
Oh, God.
Plain,
yep.
Okay consistency, okay dunking. And this is the first one I described as church coffee morning. Because right. I can't think of a situation when you would have one unless you were a church coffee morning. No one chooses to buy them, put them out for guests.
Someone, like you say, someone must be, because these have also been around for probably 50 years.
But also, I think there's the generation above us, say the boomers, who are frugal, even though they have money. They grew up just post-war, so always frugal. So things like that yes. were affordable. Plus, you've also got like my mum and dad. My dad will snack on whatever biscuits are there.
Right.
If they're really nice biscuits, then he'll snack on them a lot. If they're pretty boring, dull biscuits, he won't have so many, so my mum buys right. boring biscuits.
Right.
So if he's going to have one, he'll only have one or two rather than five or six. So I think
that brilliant.
The older people and wives trying to keep their husbands alive through to their right. 80s are keeping those industries alive. So malted milk, church coffee morning, but they will always be the last ones left. It would do nothing for me.
You could probably eat 50 of them and not realise you've eaten any. It's the same as rich teas. But enough chat about the worst. That's time to discuss the best biscuits you can buy. My number one biscuit, Hurst. Fox's Crunch Creams.
You're so fucking fancy. Or
they're not
fancy. So fancy.
These ones aren't fancy. These ones, they sound fancy, but I think they're like a pound, so they're not expensive. Fox's Crunch Cream, I believe they've had several different names over the years. I'm sure they were called Golden Crunch at some point, but they are another biscuit, which is sandwich one, like, three of them on my list now. Two biscuits with some sort of, what would you even call the inside of these things?
Cream, we call it.
Cream, but it isn't.
Like it's a buttercream, isn't it?
Yeah, but it probably doesn't involve either of those ingredients, right? It's chemicals that yeah. are made to taste nice, and they glue two biscuits together. This case, two biscuits, which are Golden Crunch biscuits.
Biscuit glue doesn't sound quite as nice as
not as good.
Sugar cream or whatever.
But it does mean every time you eat one, you, of course, get two biscuits and some really unhealthy sugar-based shite in the middle. And these ones are the best of them. You can scram these into your face, and they are delicious. And not that I've really considered how much the biscuits cost in my list of biscuits. I'm not really interested in that, right? That doesn't stop them being best if they're expensive. But Fox's Crunch Creams are not as expensive, and you can buy them anywhere. So, yeah, remind yourself of how fucking great Fox's Crunch Creams are. Treat yourself to a packet and go, God damn, as always, Squirrel is correct. Number one, Fox's Crunch Creams.
It's a good call. They are nice biscuits. I have no argument there.
Would you like a fact, an estimated fact about Fox's, the biscuit company in general?
Go on.
All right. Well, I tapped up regular listener Bill Preston, who actually used to work for them. I said, give me a fact, an estimated fact about Fox's. And here they come, Hurst. Fact. There was going to be a Jammy Dodger party ring crossover, but they couldn't decide which side of the party ring icing should go on, the inside or the outside, so they eventually abandoned it.
Okay.
Or, fact. Brandy Snap production is distinct from the manufacture of other biscuits, as it has its own dedicated team due to the complexity.
I'm going with the second one mostly because I can't believe that they wouldn't have known which side to put the icing on. It clearly goes
on
the top.
Which side would you put it on?
Oh, it's on the top. Party rings, icing goes on top. I love the idea of then jamming a Jammy Dodger underneath it.
What way up does the bottom one go?
Well, the bottom one's clearly the bottom one on a Jammy Dodger because it's a different consistency to the top.
But and it's solid, right? But would they have to point the icing outwards or inwards on the bottom
one? Outwards. No, you'd only put
so
it on the top.
So it's both outwards. You'd only put it on the... Oh, you see how complex this already is.
Oh, yeah, they're not going to mess with that formula, so it must be the all Brandy right. Snaps.
Okay, you are correct. Brandy Snap Production is distinct from the manufacturer of other biscuits as it has its own dedicated team due to the complexity. There you are. There's a look inside the biscuit manufacturing process.
Well, thanks very much, Bill Preston, for your insider knowledge there. That's good stuff.
Excellent work, Bill.
Moving on. My number one is Milk Chocolate Hobnobs, the absolute daddy of all biscuits. Excellent texture. Another oat one, interestingly enough. Both of our number ones are oat-based biscuits.
True.
Sublime flavour. And they're just not at all dry. And because of the milk chocolate, when you chomp them, even without any dunking, no moist making, no grotty biscuit glue, they're just so good. My God, they're so good. Perfect dunkage anyway. I mean, you don't need to dunk them to get masses out of them. But if you do, they hold together well enough. But when you put them in your mouth, it's just the taste explosion. I don't think it's that.
Taste explosion.
The taste explosion. Really, for milk chocolate nubs, no notes, changed nothing, 10 out of 10. Carly didn't even buy them because we both knew as soon as biscuits came up, she said, well, it's milk chocolate hobnobs at number one, right? I was like, obviously, we just got to figure out what the other four are. Even if I'd remembered Fox's Crunch Creams, they would not have battled chocolate hobnobs.
Milk there you go. Hobnobs.
This is another one where brand matters a bit. It has to be the McVitie's milk chocolate hobnobs to be the number one. Supermarkets have started doing their own things like Oaty Crumbles and things. And actually Asda do a fairly good half the price alternative. So on a budget, milk chocolate Oaty Crumbles, but they are very hard to get hold of. They are normally sold out. For this one, I am going to say, as with Biscoff and Oreos and the ones before, you want to go branded if you want the full proper experience.
Mm.
These are not, I wouldn't call them a Hall of Fame in the same way, that they're not classic.
They feel kind of new, but they're not in any way.
They're not in any way, but they feel new. But they are, they will be. Would you like a fact and an estimated fact about milk chocolate hobnobs?
I absolutely would.
Okay. In a poll of the UK's most recognised chocolate biscuit snacks, milk chocolate hobnobs came back as the nation's favourite biscuits to dunk in tea or coffee, with the plain hobnob itself being the third most popular biscuit for dunking.
Okay.
And the other fact is, when McVitie's first tested milk chocolate hobnobs, they discovered people were snapping off the chocolate and eating it before the biscuit, so often that they had to slightly thicken the chocolate layer to stop it cracking cleanly. In short, hobnobs were too satisfying and needed structural reinforcement.
I know they are popular for dipping in your tea. I know this. But are they that popular? I like the second one because it's fun and it involves market research, which we love, of course. all right, why not? I'm going to say the second one, even though I think both are very valid.
That they used to, they had to slightly thicken the chocolate
more
layer.
Chocolate.
Stop cracking. That is, in fact, an actual fact.
Hooray!
Yes, when they first made them, people were snapping off the chocolate and eating it and then eating the biscuit afterwards. So they had to thicken the chocolate there and stop it cracking. So that's our lists and that our facts and estimated facts.
Yes, indeed.
Strong start for both of us for the new year for our understanding and diagnosis of facts versus estimated facts.
That is true. That is true. And let's see who can be 2026 champion of actual bragging. Although, I guess it's season two, really, so we don't care about the year. Not as much as you won't, rankers, if you listen to this in the future.
Indeed. So what's next?
First time in a while, Hurst, we're going to spin the wheel of decisions.
Ooh, spicy.
Has been a while, right?
What's on the wheel?
We have top five 80s and 90s cartoons. That's new from Rachel the Juggler, as we covered off Kitchen Implements. Bit similar to the very first episode we did, but it has been a long while since we did that episode. So, A, the sound quality will be better.
That was specifically villains, wasn't it?
It was specifically villains. We did talk about the cartoons, of course. Adult cartoons has appeared as well. And another kind of adult cartoon, the Fast and Furious movies, we could be ranking then. We could be ranking video game movie adaptations. We could be ranking adverts. We could be ranking books, just books. So there we are, just a little subject there to cover, Hurst. We'll just read all the books in a week and decide which one we like best.
That one might be a bit of a challenge because there are so many books. And I choose as my number one something that none of the rankers have ever read or equally anything on my list, it will be difficult.
Chances are we're going to be choosing books that people haven't heard of because there's just so many books.
It'll be difficult to vote on that, but hey, someone's put it out there. Who are we to question the Patreons?
Patreons, indeed. And the rankers, of course, are
highly skilled people. So I've got no worries that they will be able to do the right thing. And what else have we got here? Top five movie villain schemes, which I believe has been there since the start and just hasn't been picked. Sorry, Peter Murgett, you're still waiting. All right, Hurst, here it goes.
Adult cartoons. Excellent stuff.
Adult cartoons was suggested by Davpaz. Thank you very much, Davpaz. Biscuits was suggested by Kovac. Thank you, Kovac, too, from our supporter hub, Hurst.
Oh, very nice. Thanks, Kovac, because not only was it a good run, it meant I got to eat a lot of biscuits.
That's right. And then we're doing adult cartoons. Adult cartoons, I guess, are things that are obviously not for kids. Simple as that, right?
That narrows it down quite a lot.
South Park would probably count, but The Simpsons probably would not, in my opinion.
Yeah.
That will be coming at you in a couple of weeks' time. We need to thank our official supporter hub. Hurst, you're going to reel them off the top of your head again.
Oh, Jesus.
It always goes so perfectly.
Kovac. Davpaz.
Good.
Princess Jasmine. And Meg98 on the temporary visa.
It's good. It's not Princess Jasmine. It's Goddess Jasmine.
A couple of
steps up from Princess, I reckon. Fucking hell. Should we attempt to finish this episode at some point today, Hurst?
Let's bring it into that.
Rankers, we are on Facebook. We are on Patreon. We are on Blue Sky. We are on YouTube. Just search for Top 5 Face Off. We're even on Tickety Top, if you understand what that is. Top 5 Face Off. You can find us there. Although there's not much on there. But never mind. They don't have to care about that. But Hurst, if I were to want to buy pictures on the internet, where can I go to do so?
Well, I would highly recommend doghouseart.co.uk. It's still sort of under construction. I'm doing my best. It stressed me out earlier.
Don't tell them that, Hurst. If you had £1 a month to spare, what do you think you'd do with that money?
I would 100% spend it on becoming a Patreon.
What a great idea, Hurst. What can you get for being a Patreon of this fine podcast?
Not just bonus material every month, but access to all the archival bonus material, things like our pilot show that we did on AlcoPods, things like our mini lists that we did, like the top five of the Seven Dwarfs, top five Friends characters, things like that will be coming in every month. There'll be something for you. And I will also be posting my official ratings of all the biscuits that I got for Christmas from Carly. So that will be on there after voting closed.
How could you possibly resist? Patreon.com/top5faceoff. That's the word five, not the number five. Been a while since I've said that. Do we have anything else to talk about, Hurst? I don't think we do.
Nah, I think that's it. Let's bring this home to now.
Lovely. Okay. Please rewind this podcast for the next people to come along, and we will see you next time for, what was it? Adult cartoons.
Good stuff.
All right.
See you later, anchors. Love you.
Top 5 Face-Off is presented by Matt Hurst and Matt Squirrel and produced by Powerstorm Awesome Fire Incorporated. For more details and to vote for a winner, visit top5faceoff.co.uk. Thanks for listening.
Right, let's just plough straight into it, shall we?
All right, let's just bang it in dry.
Bite the pillow, son. I'm coming in dry.
Son? That's gone in a whole new direction. That's what he said. How many biscuits have you eaten?
Fucking loads of them. I didn't write them down, but lemon puff, tartlets, hobnobs, Oreos, Biscoff, party wings, malted milk, nice custard creams, jammy dodgers, Garibaldi fruit, shorty digestive, rich tea, shorty, short red fig roll.
Yeah.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, or good night, rankers. Welcome back to the show. And if this is your first time,
Plow it in.
Good.
Vote for Squirrel. Only one chair. Why can't I fucking read, Hurst? Jesus
Christ. 2026, getting old.
Oh, shit, is that what it is?
Kudos for the big balls move, but I disagree on that one.
Where did that?
I'm just going to please myself whilst you rank your number three, Hurst.
I'm a bit grossed out now.
There you go. No one mentioned Home Alone, by the way, even though it's the best Christmas movie of all time now, officially. Literally no one in the comments cared. But there we are.
Didn't one person say, yeah, someone mentioned Home Alone because their kids were making traps.
Oh, well, I'll cut that bit right out. It was ages ago we talked about the fucking comments.
Back to the best.
Come at me, Rank. Oh, no, they can literally come at me. Don't come at me, Rankers.
Yeah, go at him hard. Tell him what's wrong, guys.
Go at him hard. What is happening this episode?
Christ. But you don't like milk and you don't like tea. Basically, you like energy drinks and Coca-Cola. Right, I've got to go to the loo before we finish. I thought I was going to be able to hold it, but I'm getting old, so.
No worries.